to Daily Pulse, where we keep your finger on the pulse of the latest breaking news and the news they're keeping from you. Brought to you by The Vigilant Fox and Z Media. I'm your host, Maria Z. Tonight, Pam Bondi caught in a recording revealing previously undisclosed information about Epstein, the $21 trillion underground city for the wealthy and powerful to live if a near-extinction event occurs. And the Trump admin is distancing itself from Israel. Harrison Smith from InfoWars joins us to discuss. Let's get into the Daily Pulse. So we've been reporting on the Epstein file release saga from the beginning, and just days ago, James O'Keefe said that he was going to release a series of videos that prompted him to publicly state that he is not suicidal. He indicated that these videos may be related to Pam Bondi and Epstein since that, and we told you we'd keep you up to date with all of this. And don't know if there's more coming at this stage, but it appears at least one piece of the puzzle is out for the public to see relating to Attorney General Pam Bondi, who, we'll just say, has made a series of conflicting statements related to Epstein thus far in public. But it appears she is also saying some things in private. A new video from James O'Keefe shows a secret recording of Pam Bondi telling what we're told is a stranger information that was not previously publicly disclosed. Take a look.
Yesterday, Attorney General of the United States Pam Bondi was at the White House and disclosed what she represented as brand new information in relation to Jeffrey Epstein, the existence of tens of thousands of videos featuring little children.
There are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn.
Now, this is the first time an official has publicly acknowledged that videos of Epstein and his victims exist. What you may not know is just 9 days prior, the Attorney General had a very similar conversation with a total stranger in a restaurant.
Do you know when the Epstein files are gonna get released?
We hope soon. The FBI has been.
Okay, so. Any dates?
No, you know what it is? Tens of thousands of videos.
Yeah.
And it's all with little kids, so they have to go through every one.
In the past, officials have spoken about the, quote, mountain of evidence in the Epstein case, but they've never previous to that moment acknowledged on the existence of videos of, quote, little kids. Just a few days later, at 2 p.m. on May 1st, our reporter sent the AG's office the text of the recording. We asked why this detail had not been disclosed to the public, but was instead being told to a random stranger at a restaurant. The Attorney General used almost the exact same language as she did with the stranger in the restaurant, language that we shared with her press office.
There are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn.
Now, we hesitated to publish this story, but believe, like we did yesterday, that the public has a right to know. And this one raises serious questions. On one hand, why did our country's highest law enforcement official share this information first not with the American people, but with a self-described nanny at brunch? But more importantly, why was this information held back in the first place? Does this show that a government apparatus is still working behind the scenes to protect powerful people involved in the scandal? Based upon the response to our Epstein story yesterday, it's clear that the American people want answers, and they want accountability.
Adding to O'Keefe's valid questions there, the curious thing about Pam Bondi's media statements there on the 7th of May is that she says these thousands of videos are of Epstein abusing children. Not anyone else. She just says these videos are of Epstein. They've got thousands of videos with Epstein, whereas we know that Epstein was running a blackmail operation, and we know that he was flying around big names on the Lolita Express. So we know that there are more perpetrators than just him himself. And to think that he was the only one abusing these children, as in it ends with him, is extremely naive. And to top it off, as we reported yesterday, we have Kash Patel in a hearing telling Senator John Kennedy that he believes Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, which nobody with an ounce of common sense actually believes. Exactly what narrative is being painted here? Are they trying to tell us that Epstein acted alone? Well, he's dead now. It all ends with him. Oh, and if we ever get the files, we'll make sure everything else is redacted so as to protect the victims. Nothing more to see here, folks. We're not saying that's the way it's going to go down, not at all, but this suspicious pattern of behavior makes us draw some pretty damning conclusions, largely because of the complete lack of transparency around this whole thing. At this point, it's all getting very long in the tooth, this constant back and forth of, we have the files, we haven't got the files, we've got the files, we haven't got all the files, we've got a truckload of files, we've got thousands of videos, whether we have or we haven't, nobody in the public has seen anything yet. It's almost like a cat with a laser. You keep pointing the laser everywhere until the cat gets bored and maybe slowly forgets about it. Well, we're not going to forget about it. We're not going to get bored. We know this runs deep. We know it's more than Jeffrey Epstein, both above and below him. And the people deserve answers and a government free of these types of abhorrent crimes. With millions of people across the country looking to diversify their portfolios in a time of uncertainty, there is a new way to take advantage of the crypto world and not get left behind. If you're ready to talk to a company that is already, provably, rapidly accelerating American retirement wealth, contact our partners at dailypulsecrypto.com. They are globally recognized crypto experts with the lowest fees and no complicated jargon when it comes to investing your IRA. They're demystifying a world that has been inaccessible for so many everyday investors looking to turbocharge their retirement plans. They're outperforming the market with market-leading management, state-of-the-art technology systems and trade analytics, and no hidden fees. It's time to contact a team that you can trust. Visit dailypulsecrypto.com today and talk to a company that is empowering all Americans to take control of their financial future by providing secure, intelligent, and accessible cryptocurrency investment within the familiar structure of an IRA. That link again is dailypulsecrypto.com. That's dailypulsecrypto.com. In an absolute bombshell interview, former housing official Catherine Austin Fitz recently told Tucker Carlson that the US government had spent $21 trillion on building an underground city for the wealthy and powerful to live if a near extinction event occurs. Sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Well, let's play you a bit of that interview now.
But there is a history of near extinction events. And one of the things that I've looked at, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, when between fiscal 1998 and fiscal 2015, there were 21 trillion of undocumentable adjustments in the U.S. government. If you go to our website, missingmoney.salier.com, we have years and years of documentation, including the government financials that show this. And so the question is, where is all this money going? And one of the things I've looked at in the process of looking at where all this money is going is the underground base and city infrastructure and transportation system that's been built.
And I'm sorry?
Yes. So we have built an extraordinary number of underground bases and supposedly transportation systems. Some of these are documented as part of the national security infrastructure. I think there are many more. So
in the United States?
In the United States and all over the world.
To help back up her allegation, Fitz cited a report released by Michigan State University economist Mark Skidmore. The economist and their team said in their paper that they had uncovered $21 trillion in unauthorized spending in both the Department of Defense and Housing and Urban Development from 1998 to 2015. From the article, which was written in December of 2017, the work of Mark Skidmore and his team, which included digging into government websites and repeated queries into US agencies that went unanswered, coincided with the Office of Inspector General at one point disabling the links to all key documents showing the unsupported spending. It says, luckily, the researchers downloaded and stored the documents. Skidmore got involved when he heard Catherine Austin Fitz, former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, refer to a report which indicated the Army had $6.5 trillion in unsupported adjustments or spending in fiscal 2015. Given the Army's $122 billion budget, that meant unsupported adjustments were 54 times spending authorized by Congress. Typically, such adjustments in public budgets are only a small fraction of authorized spending. Skidmore thought Fitz had made a mistake. Maybe she meant 6.5 billion and not 6.5 trillion, he said. So I found the report myself, and sure enough, it was 6.5 trillion. Skidmore and Fitz agreed to work together to investigate the issue further, And over the summer, two MSU graduate students searched government websites, especially of the Office of Inspector General, looking for similar documents dating back to 1998. They found documents indicating a total of $21 trillion in undocumented adjustments over the 1998 to 2015 period. Additionally, Fitz added that she and a team of investigators spent between 2021 and 2023 collecting all the data and all the information on underground bases. She estimated that they had found roughly 170 in America and under the ocean around America. We systematically went through and tried to guesstimate our guess of how many underground bases there are, both underground in the US, but also underground under the ocean around the US. And our estimate was 170 with a transportation network connecting them. Tucker then inquired about the purpose of connecting these bases to a transportation network, which was when Fitz dropped the bombshell. Quote, "The purpose is if you thought you were going to get a near extinction event," she claimed. "You have so many activities going on that you need to keep secret." This sounds like a job for DOGE. Surely the military-industrial complex that keeps working on bioweapons programs and starting wars, spending $21 trillion to save themselves while the rest of us suffer the consequences of their actions, constitutes waste, fraud, and abuse. That's a ridiculously large sum of money, a very good portion of the United States' current national debt. We have a reasonably short and accurate date range and the amount. Shouldn't be too hard to find, guys. But in the meantime, the public should be asking, what sort of mass extinction event could they be preparing for, natural or otherwise? This is the last day for our viewers to take advantage of exclusive deals on privacy phones and laptops from our sponsor Above Phone. The only way to truly be free from the reaches of big tech is to unplug completely and use your own private tech. Visit abovephone.com/pulse before midnight tonight to access exclusive discounts on the Above Phone 6A and 9 and the Above Book Aluminium 6 and Starter. There's truly something for everyone. They offer an incredible 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk, and their team is ready and waiting to answer your questions. You can give them a call on 1-888-36-ABOVE or visit abovephone.com/pulse to schedule a call or click on the Chat With Us button to chat with their team right now. It's time to take back our technology and break free from the growing control grid. Visit abovephone.com/pulse before midnight tonight to go private and save big. We've been telling you for a few weeks now about the rift within the Trump admin between those who want to pursue diplomacy and those who want war with Iran. We actually feel this is one of the most important stories in the world today because whether people realize it or not, war with Iran would mean World War III and it would mean nuclear World War III. Stopping this is of the uttermost importance, and it appears Trump is sticking to his promise of no more wars. This has been an extremely contentious topic in the media, with many self-proclaimed experts telling people that they aren't allowed to weigh in unless they visited the region, all the while mainstream media and many, sadly, commentators have been either propagandized or have been doing the propagandizing to try to manufacture public consent and support for this war with Iran. Today, it's been reported that President Donald Trump has allegedly decided to cut off direct contact with Benjamin Netanyahu, cooling relations between the two leaders. Yanni Kozin, a correspondent for Israeli Army Radio, said in a post on his X account that Trump made the decision after close associates told Israeli Strategic Affairs Minister Ron Dermer that, quote, "the president believes that Netanyahu is manipulating him." An Israeli official added that Dermer's tone during recent discussions with senior Republican figures about what Trump should do, quote, "was seen as arrogant and unhelpful." Additionally, the official added, quote, "there is nothing Trump hates more than being portrayed as a fool or someone being played. That's why he decided to cut contact with Netanyahu." And when we say the media is propagandizing us, we really mean it. This has been going on for a year and a half. And now Mark Levin, with his show on Fox News titled Life, Liberty and Levin, is hyperventilating in response to news that the United States is no longer demanding Saudi Arabia normalize ties with Israel as a condition for progress on civil nuclear cooperation talks. Take a breath, Mark. All that this means is that President Trump is showing he is not beholden to anyone, which should be the case, by the way. The President of the United States runs the United States and makes decisions according to the best course of action for the United States. with much of this going on and the recent announcement of Pete Hegseth abruptly cancelling a scheduled trip to Israel, it does beg the question that many are asking now, what exactly is at play? Well, in the midst of all of this, Fox News has reportedly obtained exclusive information about a hidden Iranian nuclear facility that nobody ever knew about before. And it's a Fox News personality that has the scoop directly from the State Department. Take a listen.
A Fox News exclusive: satellite images revealing the location of a previously unknown Iranian nuclear site. Now, the facility spans nearly 2,500 acres, and this is a big discovery. Jillian Turner has more from the State Department. Good morning, Jillian.
Pretty explosive, Dana. These satellite images that we have obtained exclusively show the alleged site location and even the layout of the secret, previously unknown nuclear weapons facilities inside Iran. This, of course, raises fresh concerns about the regime's role in these ongoing nuclear talks with the Trump administration. The National Council of Resistance of Iran has collected intelligence from sources on the ground inside Iran that locate this nuclear weapons facility in what is called Semnan Province, far from the regime's already known nuclear sites. It's codenamed the Rainbow Site by Iran's officials, and it spans nearly 2,500 acres. It's been operating, as far as we can discern, for over a decade under the cover of a chemical production company that's called Deba Energy Seba. The so-called rainbow site's reportedly being used primarily to extract tritium. It is a material that's used to boost nuclear weapons with no real civil or commercial applications, putting paid to Iran's longstanding claim they just want nuclear power for peaceful purposes.
To unpack this further, Harrison Smith joins us from the InfoWars studios. Harrison Smith, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Well, let me just say from the outset, I've really appreciated your coverage on this issue. I think it's a topic that a lot of alt media is treading very carefully on, a very contentious topic. And it seems like the mainstream media is just propagandizing us to get our consent to go to war. So what do you make of this latest news about Trump reportedly distancing himself from the Netanyahu government?
You know, I think this is just sort of the next part of a saga that's been going on that I've been saying. I think this is the most important story in the world. This is really deciding whether or not we go to World War III, starting war with Iran, really on behalf of Israel. And you can tell that Israel is just absolutely desperate to get this war going as soon as possible. They have sort of a vanishing window of opportunity here where they've destroyed Iran's proxies, and they've made a big gamble in doing that. The gamble is that they're going to take out Iran after they've taken out the proxies, take out Iran, and then they're good. I mean, that's the main geopolitical rival, and they'll dominate the arena once Iran's taken care of. If they don't take care of Iran right now, those proxy networks will come back, and the last year and a half of Israeli excess in terms of the war they're waging against Gaza and all of their neighbors, that's going to, you know, the bill's going to come due, and they're, you know, have made themselves really unpopular from their actions over the last year and a half. So they're really, really desperate to get war with Iran going right now before, you know, the backlash comes for the way they've behaved over the last year and a half, even if that's just Americans no longer wanting to support Israel and not voting for pro-Israel people. I mean, that's an existential threat to Israel. So you can tell how frantic they are to get this war going. And I thank God that Trump is seemingly resisting them at every pass.
Well, we've been covering the fact that all of the media attacks on Pete Hegseth, for example, were very, very strange. And we looked at this and said, well, this is because Pete Hegseth is pursuing diplomacy along with reportedly J.D. Vance, Tulsi Gabbard, along with President Trump's agenda. That's what President Trump wants. It's what he promised. A lot of us were saying, you know, is he going to stick to that promise? But it seems that that is the case. And the ousting of Mike Waltz and whatever came out with not only Signalgate, but, you know, the additional use of the extension app for Signal, if you will, maybe sharing secrets, God knows. I mean, this is really, really insane how determined these people are to go to war. I've been amazed, Harrison, watching the mainstream media spinning this into some sort of emotional issue for people, as is always the case when it comes to obtaining consent for war. And you were talking about this just this morning, and we saw the clip as well. Fox News, we just aired it for everyone. Fox News now, the mainstream media has apparently discovered an Iranian nuclear site. Talk to us about this.
Oh, isn't this amazing? Isn't the coincidence is really astounding. What are the odds? On the day that Donald Trump cuts off Netanyahu and Pete Hegseth cancels his trip to Israel, and now Trump is saying that they're going to negotiate with Saudi Arabia without having to include normalization with Israel. On the day all of these things break, they just so happen to discover a 2,500 square mile nuclear facility in Iran. They'd never seen it before. But not only do they know that it's been there for 10 years, they know that what they're doing in that facility can only be used for nuclear weapons. It's not even, what they're doing is tritium, which is a radioactive isotope used to enhance nuclear weapons. It's not used in civilian nuclear energy. So this has been the missing piece of the puzzle, right? So not only did they discover this apparently unknown facility, what they're doing at that facility can only be used on nuclear weapons, which of course means that they aren't really doing nuclear energy. So, I mean, the amazing thing about this is that I don't think anybody's falling for this. And thank God. I mean, you've got Lindsey Graham and Tom Cotton trying to gin up emotion about this and trying to start war with Iran, of course, because that's what they do. But 10 years ago, this might have worked, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is the most blatant and ridiculous piece of propaganda I maybe have ever seen. I think they've edged out the chemical attack that Bashar al-Assad did on his own people that, of course, was disproven by the inspectors that went there. They're desperate for war with Iran, and they're really pulling out all the stops and getting increasingly desperate and, in my opinion, increasingly ridiculous with this attempt to spark World War III. It's crazy. And when you talk about Mike Waltz being kicked out of the White House officials said he was working for a foreign president, not our president. That is crazy. The fact that that's not a massive nationwide scandal is, it's troubling in and of itself. But this whole the Signalgate saga, as you point out, with Pete Hegseth being isolated, people he'd brought in that were anti-intervention have been forced out. He was obviously very pro-Israel before, which is why I think it's at least part of why he was given the job as Secretary of Defense. But ever since getting in the position, he's been avoiding or been resisting the push to go to war with Iran, along with J.D. Vance and Tulsi Gabbard. And yeah, I'm so happy to see Donald Trump fulfilling his campaign promise of not going to war in the Middle East. Do we really need to make that mistake again for the fourth time in my life? It's like, please, can we not do this again, please?
Well, you raise a very, very important point, Harrison, which is that the propaganda just isn't working. People are very much aware of what's going on here. No, you're not going to get our buy-in for World War III. We don't want our kids blown up by nuclear bombs. It's pretty clear cut, I think. But it's interesting because there are still people out there. You mentioned Pete Hegseth was, very pro-Israel, but he's resisting this. I don't think that the two have to not exist together. You can be very friendly towards a country or an ally, but still be against going to war on behalf of that country. And I feel like there's still some people that just don't seem to understand that. They think that that's somehow a hateful position. Like, no, I like Canada, but I don't want to go fight its wars, for example. That's somehow anti-Canadian.
Yeah, that, that's always the talking point. It makes it really difficult to discuss any of this. Which is why, when I talk about Israel, I talk about the things that they're doing that I don't like. I don't condemn the Israeli people. I'm friends with Israelis. God forbid anything happened to them. But yeah, it's sort of an increasingly rare position, I guess, to hold. People, want to say I support Muslim extremism because I don't want to see the people of Gaza obliterated by airstrikes in elementary schools. I mean, this is a false dichotomy. You can be against war in favor of peace and not hate either side of the conflict. So I think that's another thing that I hope people are waking up to and realizing this isn't an either or thing. You can be against this war and want a path to peace. I think the dangerous thing is that they don't really need America's permission to kick this off. I mean, if they bomb Iranian sites, if Israel bombs Iranian sites, or even an anonymous force bombs anonymous sites, we don't even know where the bombs came from, Iran's going to retaliate against America. We've got aircraft carriers in the region. We've got tens of thousands of troops in the Middle East. Every single one of them could come under attack by hypersonic missiles that we have no ability to prevent. So we're still very much playing a dangerous game of chicken here, trying to tread this wire and not fall off. So while I trust Trump and I believe that he is doing everything he can to avoid American lives being lost in the Middle East, we're still in this hyper dangerous situation right now. So it could go any way still.
Well, I want to ask your opinion on where it may go, because we've seen Israel making statements that even if the US doesn't support them, they're going to go ahead and strike Iran. And now people are, I'm seeing a lot of chatter on social media, people saying, well, next we can expect a false flag of sorts. I know Alex has been talking about false flags for a while, maybe not necessarily in relation to this conflict, but we see race wars ramping up. I think some of that is manufactured, to be honest with you. We see tensions between people ramping up, and some of that is organic, by the way. It's what happens with mass immigration. You're going to get tensions with people that just don't usually live together. But we certainly see, you know, the tensions. I think the Trump admin is trying to de-escalate worldwide tensions, yet they are still ramping up. It's a very precarious position. But what do you think may be the next response if, you know, Israel is in a position of desperation now? They see this as their only chance. What may happen next?
You know, it's hard to say. Iran still has just massive capabilities in terms of ballistic missiles. They've already demonstrated they're able to get through the Iron Dome. They've sort of done some demonstrations of that where they didn't necessarily hit any major infrastructure. But, you know, they are capable of retaliating. They're without America especially, they're in a very dangerous position, Israel and Iran. So if Israel launches an attack against Iran, I mean, that could be it for Israel, because Iran could just blanket them. And I mean, they have literal entire cities underground full of ballistic missiles, hundreds of thousands of these things. So if Iran wants to counterattack, they have the capability to really cause a lot of destruction. Of course, Israel has nukes. That's another really dangerous addition to this conflict. And of course, all of this is happening in the context of trying to end the Russia-Ukraine war, China menacing Taiwan. Now there's this outbreak of two nuclear armed countries in India and Pakistan. That is still simmering and could boil over at any moment. So yeah, it's an increasingly tenuous situation we find ourselves in. And it looks like it's what's coming to fruition is what I've been talking about since 2019, when I started calling it the worldwide civil war. It seems like there are factions in every country forming, where you've got the British people waking up to the reality that mass immigration has led to them. Obviously, Europe is desperately trying to fix things electorally, and that, you know, those processes keep getting interrupted by parliamentary tricks or coalitions between right and left to stop the far right from getting in or making or, you know, declaring the AFD as domestic terrorists, so, you know, preventing them from getting power. So people are trying to solve things through the system. The system is preventing them from doing it. Things are getting crazier and more intense, and I think bombing Iran, we already see how impactful that entire, the Gaza war has been on activists here in America. I don't know what would happen if that happened. I can imagine 1,000 different scenarios. None of them are positive. None of them are good. I think the only option for humanity at this point is to avoid war with Iran with everything we've got, because it is World War III. World War III will be nuclear if Israel or America attacks Iran and a war breaks out in a big way there. Iran is partners with China and Russia, with Ukraine and Taiwan. I mean, everything is being set up for World War III in a very dangerous way. And I just genuinely, sincerely pray to God that Donald Trump has the foresight and discernment to navigate us through these extremely troubled waters. Yeah.
Absolutely agree, Harrison. I think that diplomacy is the way forward. We have to de-escalate this. It's just getting more and more intense. And it seems that President Trump and key figures in his administration are committed to that for now. But I'm seeing positive steps. And so that encourages me a lot. It's also very important that we keep speaking honestly about this and remove all the emotion and the propaganda out of the question, which is why I appreciate your reporting so much. Harrison Smith of InfoWars, you can catch him every day, every weekday from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. Central on band.video or on X, or what's the InfoWars link, Harrison?
Infowars.com/show. Follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Anytime.
Don't let the agenda tick you off and put you into a tailspin when you can take advantage of it. There is one commodity that is needed for solar power, battery power for electric vehicles, nuclear power, and is a vital component in missiles, torpedoes, and aerospace. Silver is needed for all of that, and recent developments are creating an insurmountable problem for all of these industries. Physical silver is running out. These manufacturers will pay almost any price and simply pass it on to the consumer or taxpayer. But what if you were the person that owned what they will need? You can be. Call Kirk Elliott Precious Metals today to purchase physical silver. We've chosen Kirk Elliott Precious Metals as Dr. Kirk cares about you, is trustworthy, honest, and educates you before you make a purchase to make sure it's right for you. He only deals with low-cost bullion that doesn't carry high premiums, and what I love is that physical metals can even be placed in your IRA. Call him at 720-605-3900 or schedule a call online at kepm.com/pulse and get out of the system with one of the safest and most private assets in the world. That link again is kepm.com/pulse or give him a call at 720-605-3900. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. If you haven't noticed, we're committed to telling you the truth no matter what. You can catch us doing that every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's every weekday, Daily Pulse, where we keep your finger on the pulse of the latest breaking news and the news they're keeping from you. You can support us to stay independent by shopping directly with our sponsors who make this show possible. Their links are in the description below. You can also like, share, and give us your thoughts and comments on the broadcast. Please also remember to follow Vigilant Fox on Rumble, as well as Vigilant Fox on X, and subscribe to Vigilant Fox's Substack to keep up to date with deep dives on the latest news. You can also follow Z Media on Rumble, where we post our long-form interviews, deep dives, and investigations. Follow us on X at ZEEE_media, and all of our content is also on zmedia.com. We'll see you Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tell everyone about it. And as always, keep your finger on the pulse with the Daily Pulse. Have a great weekend, everyone. Good night.